B-Pod Studios.
Today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
Charlie Starr from Blackberry Smoke is my guest today as they tour the country on this Wheels of Soul tour with Tedeschi Trucks as well as Shovels and Rope. They got a short 45-minute opening set. We talk about that. The third guitarist for this tour as well as an added percussionist. We also talk about the dichotomy of being in a band.
But being in a band in a democratic situation can be really tough.
He tells me about the live record they recorded in their hometown this past Thanksgiving. We also talk about the European tour they just came back from and some of the bands they saw while on that tour.
And especially Slayer, that's the most relentless band I've ever seen.
He tells me about the Blackberry Smoke stock car, working with Zach Brown a few years ago. Also about having their own record label and the advantages and disadvantages of that.
There's no record label, which is basically a bank to hand you tons of money that you owe back.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess that's a pro too.
Charlie Starr from Blackberry Smoke is my guest today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
This is Talkin' Rock. Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
Thanks, as always, for checking out the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. It's Meltdown here along with Al Beck, and he's going to be coming up after Charlie Starr here as far as rock news is concerned. And, man, a lot of things happening as far as the rock world. By the way, I got to thank the guys from Rush for retweeting my audiogram about an audiogram for those of you out there in the world of the internet. It's like this, I don't know, how do you describe an audiogram? It's like audio, and you can actually see the wave files.
Yeah.
And they're under a minute usually, and you post them up on social media and whatnot.
Yeah, it just takes the audio and converts it to a video file, right?
Well, you see the waveforms,
right.
You know, and Getty was on the phone with us, so obviously there was no video.
Right.
So anyways, I posted that about it. Getty got a kick out of talking about his mother and Dave Grohl's mother becoming friends. And of course, in return, they became friends.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and
driving around all over the place.
yeah, that was in Toronto. So I got to thank those guys. And that got picked up by a lot of sources. And people were talking about different things. It's kind of cool when you do some of these interviews and you kind of Google the names of the people like a couple weeks later. And some other sources have picked it up as news. So that's mm-hmm. always exciting.
Yeah.
So thanks for that. And our last episode, we had all sorts of bands from Riff Fest. And if you get a chance, check out Brent Smith from Shinedown talking all things Shinedown, talking about his relapse a few years ago. Badflower was kind of interesting. I was talking about this as well, that it's like that was most anxious to talk to those guys because I don't really know a lot about them. And their subject matter and their theme and their songs are so kind of dark and whatnot. So,
yeah.
So that was last time around. But yeah, real quick before getting to Charlie, it's funny. You know, this life that we lead, that we're privileged and lucky to lead, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so next weekend is Slash is playing out here, you know, at Caesars Windsor.
Yeah.
And then the next day we got Vince Neil playing out here, you know, in this thing, right? So anyway, so they want me to host both these things. Now, normally I'm like, oh, that's fantastic, right? But I can't because I have kids and they have soccer, or I'm soccer. My kids don't play soccer. I never let them play soccer, by the way.
Hockey?
Yeah, hockey and baseball. Like, so when they come up to me and say, hey, do you want to host this thing like on July 28th with Vince Neil? And it's like March. I'm like, oh, yeah, sure, I'll do that.
Yeah.
And now he's got a hockey tournament.
So. Of course. Well, you also postponed a vacation with your wife to go see Cinderella, so
that was actually Tom Kiefer.
Yeah.
So I did do that. You're right. Yeah. So anyways, family first.
Yeah, clearly.
She did go with me.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I'm sure she was thrilled.
So anyways, I guess I'm whining about having to host this thing with Slash and Vince Neil because I want to see my kids' hockey games.
Yeah.
But, you know, what are you gonna do?
Yeah.
So he'll play more, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah.
Hopefully Vince and Slash will come back through town again.
I'm sure they will.
But I'm kind of looking forward to seeing. Well, Vince, I'm going to see actually coming up on the 28th here in Detroit. Then in Southern Ontario at this Hogs for Hospice, I want to say the date is August 3rd. It's a Saturday. It's a motorcycle ride. And Vince is playing that as well. So I'll be hosting that, too.
Yeah, and who knows? Next time you see Slash, it might be with Guns N' Roses. You
probably.
Know, they're going to be doing that new album and
I
stuff.
I was just thinking about that. Where did he tell people about that new record?
I don't know. Did he retweet it or something?
No, it's right here on this podcast. So anyhow, all right, enough stroking us.
Yeah.
Charlie Starr from let's see, from Blackberry Smoke is on the phone with us here, and I'll tell you what a great band, killer band to check out live. He's actually going to be at town in Rock City Music along with the band on Monday, as I record this Monday the 22nd. as they play the 23rd out at Meadowbrook. But on the 22nd, Rock City Music starting at 7 o'clock. He'll be signing autographs, meet and greeting with fans. And it's always fun to talk to the guys from Blackberry Smoke. So it's Charlie Starr today on the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. Charlie, is that you?
It's Charlie.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Oh, doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing okay. A day late and a dollar short, but we're okay.
That's okay. That's the way I live.
That's right. So, hey, good to hear from you again. I guess you're coming through the Motor City this coming Tuesday in Meadowbrook, the Wheels of Soul Tour. So tell me about that.
And Blackberry Smoke and Shovels and Rope, and we're halfway through the tour, it looks like. It's about 6 weeks, and it has just been fantastic.
Now, I know you guys are playing like a shorter set. Is that, do you like that? Do you like to jam more stuff into that shorter set, or do you like to just go and play the longer headlining set and be able to put in more things?
Well, I mean, you know, it's more enjoyable, obviously, to play longer.
Uh-huh.
But we play 45 minutes every night. Funny thing, people love to complain on social media, and they always round down. Like, I've seen a lot of, they played 32 minutes. and this is a public service announcement. I have a clock at my feet. It's 45 minutes every single night. So you're incorrect.
Yeah, that's funny. I know you guys just played at Canandaigua the other night, right?
Yes, it was fantastic. I had to ask how to pronounce the name of that town.
Yeah, yeah. So I grew up in Western New York, and I used to go to Watkins Glen all the time, and you know, the whole thing. And actually,
yeah.
I saw Kid Rock in Canandaigua, the Performing Arts Center, whatever they call it out there. I saw him there about 10 years ago, and he gave me some really good seats right in front of the stage, the whole thing. And this has never happened before or after, but as soon as the lights go down, I don't know if this happened when you guys played, the ushers just let everybody fill the aisleways. Did they do that?
I don't think so. That might have been that show in particular. Or maybe they knew that Kid Rock fans were going to do that.
Well, the problem is I get up to go to the bathroom and I can't get back to my seat.
Ah, that's not cool. Yeah. Well, our crowd seemed a bit more polite, I guess, that night.
That was just a thought that came to my mind when I saw that you guys had played there. So you guys brought on a third guitarist for this tour as well, eh?
Yeah, our old buddy Benji Shanks, he's played with us tons over the years. And then a percussionist, Preston Holcomb, he's an old Atlanta friend as well from a band called The Grapes. And yeah, man, we're just having a big time.
Now, I thought when I heard that you guys had brought in another guitar player, I was wondering if Keith Nelson was going to join you for any of these dates. I know you guys are old friends with the old Buck Cherry guitar player. Did that thought ever cross your mind, or did that ever come into play?
No, he's hard to get out of the house these days. He's quite a hermit. Well, I did get him. I did put him to work out in Los Angeles at the Fonda Theater several months ago. I told him he was coming, and I said, well, if you're coming, you're playing. So he said, all right, well, let me wear my good shirt.
So what is he doing now? You say he's a hermit. Is he producing stuff? What's he doing?
He is. He's writing and producing and just kind of taking it easy, you know, and I don't know. I'm sure, you know, much like all the rest of us guitar players, he'll get the itch to be on stage again, I'm sure, and we'll see what happens, you know.
Yeah, how long does it take for you to really miss the stage? I talked to Geddy Lee last week, who hasn't been on stage with Rush in like 4 years, and I find that's like kind of hard to believe, you know, that somebody could go that long without, you know, especially after doing it your whole life. But, I mean, do you start chomping at the bit after a couple weeks, or how's that work?
I do. Definitely. A couple of weeks is probably you're spot on with that. But, you know, in talking with people like Keith and other people, other friends that have said, I am so sick of being in a band. Because being in a band is hard. I mean, you know, I guess it's different for someone who is a solo artist and who is the boss, quote unquote, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But being in a band in a democratic situation can be really tough. And I think stepping away from it for a minute for somebody like that is probably like, oh, my God, this is great. I don't have to worry about anybody else right now, you know. But I think after a while you miss what we're all doing it for, which is that time that you're on stage playing the song.
Yeah, it sounds like a Jackson Brown song you just brought up there.
Yeah, exactly. That was in the back of my mind the whole time.
That's right. Hey, so for somebody that's not in a band that's listening to this, what is so hard? Like, explain to us, like, what's so difficult about being in a band, for whatever you can say about it.
Well, it's like being married to five people at once.
Right.
Because you live in very close quarters and you're with these people every day. It's not even like you are going to, you know, to a 9-to-5 job where at 5 o'clock you go away from those people. You're with these people 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So we all love each other in Black Berry Smoke, and we've been doing this for 20 years. But definitely, you know, you get to be like, oh my God, I'm going away. I'm going for a walk. Leave me alone, you know?
So you can see how some of these, like, these legendary feuds that have taken place in rock and roll and stuff, you can see how that could develop over time, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, you know, so much can happen, you know, and you know, everybody fights, and then you hug it out, and you still, you know, and you love each other again, and then you hate each other again. And I guess that a lot of times, you know, in some of those cases, drugs amplify that, or drinking, or whatever, you know, whatever the case may be on the road. But then there are some bands, look at ZZ Top. They had the same three members for 50 years. So.
Right. Yeah, it's unbelievable. I know it's got to be like a marriage, like you say. It's like a team, too, I would imagine. Is there ever days where you guys just aren't getting along very well, but once you take to that stage, you know, things kind of just go away for an hour and a half or so?
That's exactly right. Music is medicine. All of a sudden, you know, when you get on stage and you play the music together, because it is a team effort, you know, and then egos go out the window, and it can turn frowns into smiles instantly.
Yeah, but I got to imagine that if, you know, somebody's playing the wrong, you know, when somebody's not playing right, or, you know, maybe had a little too much to drink that afternoon or whatever, that's got to wear on people. So I could see how that whole thing could just take a downward spiral.
Man, you know, mistakes turn into, I think after you've been playing together for so long, or maybe doing this for so long, I guess there are some people like James Brown who would fine you if you made a mistake. But sometimes you look at your buddy and you think, ah, you just dropped your pants in front of 5,000 people by playing that wrong note. You know what I mean? And then it turns into comedy.
Yeah.
And it's hard not to get tickled at your buddy who just effed up in front of everyone.
Now tell me about, you know, speaking of touring and playing with your buddies and stuff, you guys just did a European tour, right?
Yeah, we went over for about a month and played a bunch of festivals and a bunch of shows. It was great.
I mean, festivals with some legendary bands, right?
Yeah. Festivals in Europe are different than the U.S. It's sort of, there's a lot of genre hopping that goes on. So, like, at one festival in France, there were bands like Us and Tesla and Stone Temple Pilots. And then at the very same time, there was Testament and Anthrax and Slayer. And so those people don't mind. You know, they just like music.
And do you watch some of the heavier bands?
Absolutely, every time. And especially Slayer, that's the most relentless band I've ever seen. From the second they start to the last note, it just is, it's a barrage of energy. And I look at them, they're older than I am, and I think, God, I couldn't do that. Look at that. I mean, they just, it doesn't let up.
Yeah, it's funny you should mention that, because one of the biggest assaults I've ever seen on stage was being able to watch them from the side of the stage at Rock on the Range, and there was like 30, 35,000 people there, and it is just like an assault coming off the stage. And it's like, I'm not the biggest Slayer fan, but I'm becoming a bigger one, but yeah, you're exactly right.
Yeah, it's like a sport, what they're doing, you know? It's definitely like a full contact sport. And then what's so funny, though, is Tom Araya, between songs, he's so nice.
Right.
Like his onstage banter, he's like, how you doing? Everybody feeling good? Getting some sunshine?
So have you had a chance to meet any of those guys?
Yeah, those guys are really nice. I always have been. We have, you know, bumped into them a lot in Europe over the years. And our drummer, Britt, actually used to work for Paul Bostaff years ago, drum tech for him and Slayer for a minute. But then the Def Leppard guys were really great. And, of course, Slash and his guys, Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators. And the Tesla guys are always great. And funny thing about Tesla, man, of that era, that's when I grew up, you know, in the mid to late 80s. That's when I really was getting into music. When I was a teenager, you know, and Tesla and Cinderella and bands like that had really, really, really good songs.
Right.
It wasn't just about what they looked like, which that was the case with a lot of those bands. And that's why they still tour now, because their songs are so good. You watch them play a show and you're like, oh my God, they had so many incredible songs that live on, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my little soapbox moment.
Oh, no, you're 100% correct. I mean, look, you know, What You Give or something could be a song you guys could have written, you know, or whatever. And I tell people this all the time. It's like I just saw Tom Kiefer a couple weeks ago. My wife actually postponed a trip that we were supposed to take because I wanted to see Tom Kiefer. Because you're right, the guy is such a musician and such a talent, and you get rid of all the hair stuff and whatever, and that band is just a straight-ahead blues rock band.
Yeah, he said that in an interview once. He's like, unfortunately, we were making records at a time where people listened with their eyes. But when you take all that away, it still stands. The songs are just too good to deny, you know.
Now, one more thing about the European tour. Did you guys play a show with Kiss or something like that?
They were on one of the festivals, yes.
Gotcha.
I forget if it was Download in the UK or possibly in Spain. I can't remember. They were doing on their farewell tour, their 3-year-long farewell tour.
I saw their farewell tour back in the late 90s, I think, one time.
Yeah, in 1999.
Well, being here in Detroit Rock City, they opened up that tour when they put the makeup back on in 1996 at Tiger Stadium, and that was one of the highlights of my concert-going experience when they came back out on stage. That was an unbelievable night.
So, I bet. I can only imagine.
So when you guys sign records and sign stuff at Rock City Music this coming Monday night, you guys are going to have your Blackberry Smoke stock car there, too?
I think that's the rumor, yeah.
So tell me about that, yeah.
Our buddies at Minjock Racing, they've been kind enough to fly our flag, if you will, as they make the rounds around the track. Good people, good friends of ours. Doing God's work.
Yeah, out there at the racetrack. That's really cool. So are you guys working on anything new right now? You got an acoustic record? Is that what you're working on, or what's going on?
No, we have a live album, double live album finished.
Oh, that's
with
right.
Accompanying DVD, and it'll be out soon, in the next few months, I believe. Every year we play a homecoming show in Atlanta. In November, the day after Thanksgiving, actually. We've been doing that for quite a few years, and we decided to try to capture it because the energy is just incredible. And we did. It was one shot, one night, no second chances, and got a really good live record out of it. And then at some point, probably toward the end of the year, we'll go back in the studio and start on another studio album.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second here. It's funny because Uncle Cracker plays a show here every single year to Thanksgiving. It's kind of like a thing for some hometown bands to kind of do that. But when you're up there on stage and you know that this is being recorded and whatnot, I mean, I don't know, does that play with your head a little bit?
Not really. I think you forget. You
okay.
know, when you get into the moment and you're doing the, you know, playing the music. And I can only speak for myself. I didn't think about it at all. And then when I went back and listened, it was like, oh, boy. No, it turned out really well.
That's awesome. So do you guys have anything like that in the works that you're like anything for a new record when you go back to start recording and stuff? Or is it all going to be from scratch when you get in the studio?
Well, I've got some songs written. I normally write a bunch of songs and then we'll choose what we feel like are the best, you know, 10 or 12 and then go in and get to work.
So are you primarily the songwriter in the band?
Yeah.
So there's your democracy.
Yeah, well, that usually works itself out in a band. Like, and it did for us early on. And we've, you know, songs can be written all number of ways. And I think it normally comes down to there will be people who are driven to do that and then other people aren't, you know? There is, like, I've collaborated with our piano player, Brandon Steele, a couple times. He'll have some ideas. And, I mean, the door is always open, you know, for whoever's got an, if you got an idea, bring it on, you know. But I think that some people, it's just not their thing.
Tell me about working with Zach Brown and his record label a few years back.
That was great. It was, for a small window of time there, I think it was just kind of like Capricorn Records.
Okay.
And then, you know, the business is ever changing. And I think that Zach realized that, hey, you know what? To make a label work, it needs 100% of my time, and I don't have that to give.
That's the truth.
The idea of a record label these days, to me, seems a little antiquated as well. It's like, okay, well, people aren't necessarily selling records the way they used to. So, and social media and the internet have turned everything on its ear. So it's a different game. We've been working as our own label now for 3 records, and we kind of have an idea of how many we're going to sell, of how many fans we have, and that's kind of what we do, you know. And hopefully, you know, we try to push it by touring. We try to push it and enlarge it, every year. And every year it grows a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more, but never any kind of like windfall of, oh my God, this is huge, you know? So it's a nice cycle to me. It's very comfortable.
What are some of the pros and cons of doing it yourself?
Doing it yourself, pro is you can do it the way you want it. And con is there's no record label, which is basically a bank to hand you tons of money that you owe back, which I guess that's a pro too. That's that's one thing that we never wanted to do from the beginning is owe our lives to someone.
Mm. Yeah, you hear about the bands like that all the time that they have hit records, hit songs and stuff, and they're still like living, you know, week to week.
Yeah, we've been a cash on the barrelhead band from the beginning. Well, if we can't afford it, then we don't need it.
Right. And this coming fall, you're going to be going out on tour with the record company?
Yeah, great guys.
Yeah, Till the Wheels Fall Off tour. That sounds like the kind of tour you guys are on. It's like you guys have been touring for a long time on this latest record.
Yeah, that is our tour, basically, for 20 years. It's been the Till the Wheels Fall Off tour. It just took me 20 years to write that song.
Last time you guys were in town, it was a year and a half, and I talked to you right before that, and I wanted to go to the show, and I couldn't because it was my birthday, and my wife had a surprise, and we went to an escape room, and I escaped, obviously. But Nick texted me some pictures from the stage that I was so bummed out I wasn't going to be able to be there and see you guys. So maybe this Tuesday night on my daughter's birthday, we'll come and see you guys at Meadowbrook.
Oh, fantastic.
So otherwise, we'll see you all coming up Monday at Rock City Music. What are some of the strange things that people bring for you to sign? Is there anything unusual?
Well, body parts over the years, obviously. I think everybody goes through that. But we signed a guy's divorce papers once. Yeah, any number of things.
As long as they don't bring extra body parts, that's probably right.
Yeah, or someone else's body parts, yeah.
That's
severed.
Cool.
Yeah, severed body parts.
Right, and the stock car will be there and all that kind of stuff. So, excellent. That's going to be a good time. So, well, listen, Charlie, thanks so much for the time, and good luck in the future, and we'll see you this coming week.
Yeah, thank you. See you soon.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Charlie Starr today from Blackberry Smoke on the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. I always have a hard time with the Blackberry Smoke thing because there was a band here a few years back called Black Brandy something or whatever, and then there's Black Cherry. No, what's
Blackstone Cherry?
Blackstone Cherry.
Yeah.
It's like, there's all this stuff. It's I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Probably.
I think Blackstone Cherry. I really liked that band. I don't know if they're still around. I mean, I haven't seen anything.
Blackstone
from them.
Cherry. Yeah, they're doing some stuff.
Yeah. I really like them. They had that southern rock type of feel to them.
And I'll tell you what, pretty entertaining to watch, especially the singer and the drummer. Man, those guys just they went overboard as far as trying to entertain the crowd. So good band, killer band.
Yeah,
so,
I'm with you.
So anyhow, that's L. Beck over there, and he's got the rock news you can use or not. He texted me earlier today, and he says, well, let me get some rock stories. Let me get some rock stories here, and let me familiarize myself with them. I'm like, well, why start now?
Yeah, and I immediately abandoned that plan. So, again, back to our policy of no follow-up questions.
So he just gathered these up while I was talking to Charlie, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, exactly.
See how it goes. All right, so what's your first thing? What do we got here? Hang on. Hold on. I wrote about it here. hang on.
That's right.
I have to introduce it because if I don't, who knows where you'll go with this.
Sure.
So David Lee Roth and the Van Halen boys.
Yeah.
So what's up with that?
Well, I mean, there was supposed to be a tour or a reunion, if you recall. Michael Anthony was really confused. He seemed on board with the whole thing, and then all of a sudden it just sort of fell apart. I don't even think anyone even told Michael Anthony that it wasn't going to happen. He just stopped calling him.
Well, do you remember when Sammy Hagar said, as far as he was concerned, he didn't know anything about it? Do you remember? Where did he say that, by the way?
Oh,
that's right. Right here on this podcast. That's
I saw, I don't know if this is, I mean, you mentioned Sammy Hagar, but I don't know what the validity is of this, but I saw some article where he said something like, I'm afraid to call Eddie because I don't want him to do a reunion.
Really?
I don't know. Yeah. Like I said, that's not part of the news. I don't have that article up in front of me, but it was a headline I saw. I laughed. I moved on. But David Lee Roth says that he's going to be meeting with the Van Halen bandmates. Now, he doesn't say exactly why or, what the purpose is for this. Does that mean a reunion with DLR? Does it not? I don't know. But he's supposed to be meeting with them. He also made an interesting comment that he basically said, you know what? We never got along, but you know what? When we got together, it was magic, you know?
Well, it was. I mean, it's forever. I can't really listen when it comes to Sammy versus Dave. I don't know where I fall. I really don't.
Yeah.
Because I love both those eras so much for totally different reasons. I always thought that the Diamond Dave era was a lot chunkier and maybe a little more showman, a little more showy.
Sure.
And the era with Sammy seemed like a little bit more of a cohesive unit. And more of just better, like, not so chunky and crunchy. Obviously, they brought in the keyboards and whatnot.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I like both eras. And I guess if I had to lean one way, it'd probably be the David Lee Roth era.
Sure.
If I had to pick.
Now, can you pick like solo projects, solo versions, one or the other?
I don't know. I loved Dave's first two solo records, Eat 'Em and Smile and stuff like that. Man, so good. And some say, and I'd have to agree, that band he put together after leaving Van Halen may have been that band was just as good as Van Halen.
Mm-hmm.
When you got Steve Vai and Billy Sheehan and Greg Bissonette, that's a great 80s rock band. So,
yeah.
What about you?
I mean, I got to lean Diamond Dave, I think.
Yeah.
You know? But like you said, it's a tough choice between the two of them.
And Diamond Dave, like nowadays, he's kind of like a caricature of himself. You saw the video where he was, he walked into that, that bachelor party.
Yeah.
And they're who's this guy out here?
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, everybody, it's me, Diamond Dave.
How awkward. He lets himself in. And they're like, we don't know who you are. And they're cranking Van Halen, too.
Right, exactly. So anyhow, we'll see what happens with. Look, I'm not putting any stock in any of this stuff. And to be quite honest, I'm not sure why you brought it up. Greta Van Fleet.
Yes.
Yeah, switching gears.
Exactly. Yeah. They're talking next record and they're talking Evolution. They're saying that, it's going to be sort of a changing direction a little bit for the band on the next album. I don't know if this has anything to do with all the comparisons they get to Led Zeppelin. I don't know if they're trying to shake that or not. But I mean, evolving as a band is obviously a big, important part of continuing on in your career and your legacy. But they are saying that there's going to be a little evolution, they suppose, that's everything they're working on, something quite different. They're saying they're going to be using different effects. They're going to be different styles and forms of music they're going to experiment with. So I don't know, like maybe trying to shake the comparisons. I don't know if they're getting kind of sick of that. It seemed like they were really flattered by it at first, and then after a while, it's like, okay, we're kind of our own band,
People were asking me last week, ask Geddy Lee what he thinks about Greta Van Fleet. And I never really got to it, but everyone you talk to has an opinion on that band.
Yeah.
And, their next record is going to have to be a little bit different. I love this record. I think it's great, man.
Yeah.
I really like it a lot. I've listened to it a ton of times.
Yeah. Well, I saw some other interview. Jack White was talking about that band, and he kind of gave them a little piece of advice and said, when I first came out, I kind of got compared to Robert Plant. You just got to be yourself and keep pushing forward, and eventually you'll fall into your own, kind of niche, and, people kind of recognize that.
I got to admit, I don't remember him being compared to Robert Plant.
I don't recall that either. But
I know he's a big Jimmy Page guy.
Sure.
He likes all that kind of stuff. So these guys are going to evolve anyways.
Yeah.
Just because they've toured, they've traveled now, they've played these songs.
And they were so young when they came on the scene. So, I mean, just life experience just, as that adds
just,
up, you know?
Just growth and worldly experiences.
Yeah, what, like 21
and,
when they put out the first album or something like that?
Yeah, young. One of them was, I think.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You know, I mean, I think some of the guys were like 19 or something. Yeah. So they're great in concert, by the way, and some nice kids. So good luck to Greta Van Fleet. On the other end of the spectrum, we've got Joe Perry talking about the 50th anniversary of Aerosmith. One of my friends was actually Aerosmith's first manager. His name is Rick Smith. You know Rick?
I don't know him, but I know the name.
So anyways, he's telling me one day, and I didn't know this at the time. So this was like 10 years ago. And he says, yeah, I was at my house the other day. It's like 9:30. I'm getting ready to go to bed. I got my pajamas on, just kind of watching TV. And all of a sudden, there's a knock on the door. And I open the door, and it's Steven standing there. I'm like, Steven, what are you doing? And I'm like, okay, who's Steven? I don't know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
He goes, Steven Tyler, we're old friends. I'm like, wait, Steven Tyler just pops in your house? And this was before, I think, the, what was that show he was on? America's Got Talent or one of those shows?
Yeah.
Anyways.
Some show I don't watch.
Yeah, so I guess that they actually went to an ice cream place in Birmingham here in Southeast Michigan. And Steven says, hey, should I just buy ice cream for everyone? He's like, yeah, you should. Hey, ice cream's on me.
Yeah,
that's
cool.
That is kind of cool.
That's a nice story.
So they got their 50th anniversary coming up.
50th anniversary next year. So they haven't actually announced what their plans are, but Joe Perry talking about the anniversary, first of all, says they have no plans of retiring anytime soon. So next year they're talking about, you know what? There might be a tour, but it certainly won't be a farewell tour by any means. They're maybe kicking around the possibility of doing another album and even threw it out there. You know what? We might even do 75 years. You never know. But yeah, 50 years of Aerosmith going to be celebrated next year.
I was thinking about this as you're telling me that so back it was around 10 years ago when Steven Tyler fell off the stage there at Sturgis, and Joe Perry was just in his bus, I guess, driving back to Boston and contacted some of the people, the powers that be here at the radio station. I walk into work and they say, oh, hey, by the way, Joe Perry's swinging by around 4:00. I'm like, what? He's doing what?
Yeah.
And so it's funny because he had his bus wrapped. At the time, it was those, what was that guitar game?
Guitar Hero?
Yeah, Guitar Hero, yeah.
Or Rock Band or something?
Yeah, one of those games, yeah. And so he had his bus, like, wrapped, like his guitar, you know.
Yeah.
And he did that because Steven Tyler had his bus wrapped. You're like, wait. He's like, whoa. Whoa, hang on. Where's my rap? You know,
yeah.
I guess it's a lot like that in that camp.
Well, I mean, that's 50 years of a career where they've got their own individual buses instead of sharing one minivan.
Yeah.
Which is probably how it started.
I've heard stories of, you know, Steven saying, how come Joe Perry has that toaster in his room and I don't?
Yeah.
You know, or stuff like that or vice versa, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, those guys have been brothers thick and thin for a long time. Mm-hmm. So Stone Temple Pilots says they're finished recording their record.
Yeah, Jeff Gutt, the new lead singer, says that they have completed the studio work on the new album. Now, previous reports had mentioned that it might be an acoustic album. It does not look like that is going to be the case, but we don't have a release date. We don't have a title yet. We just know that it's done. And Jeff Gutt says that it's going to be beautiful and different.
It'd be interesting to have like an acoustic, a brand new acoustic album. But when they were saying acoustic, were they thinking maybe redoing other tracks or what?
See, I was wondering about that, too. You know, like you do an unplugged album. Do you redo, you know, Big Empty? I mean, they released a Big Empty acoustic version, you know, for the Purple anniversary. But yeah, I was wondering that myself but they never really gave any details. They just said it was going to be acoustic. But again, it doesn't look like that's the case for this new album anyway.
Yeah. Well, good. Jeff Gutt's a good guy, as you know. And so nothing but the best wishes for those guys in STP. So they just played here and they're coming back. That tour with Rival Sons, man, that sounds like a tour that could be really worth all the money, man.
Yeah.
It could be worth the price of admission for sure.
Yeah, it really does.
So AC/DC celebrating the 40th anniversary of Highway to Hell. And of course, the late Bon Scott, that was his last record.
Yeah, it was. And they had made this like big announcement. Now, their social media had been silent for a couple of years. I think the last post they did on Facebook was around the time Malcolm passed away.
Oh, really?
So all of a sudden, their social media lit up. They changed, you know, some profile pictures and put a post out there. This big announcement was coming, and there's been a lot of rumors about AC/DC. Is there going to be a tour? Is Brian Johnson in the band again? Is there going to be a new album? And people really thought that's going to be the announcement. And instead, it was just like, here's the this old video of us playing Highway to Hell in 1979. But you know what? They may be doing some more stuff that just hasn't been announced yet, because in their post, they said something about it's the 40th anniversary. I think on the 27th of July is the 40th anniversary of Highway to Hell. And they said, celebrate with us all month long, which, you know, we're kind of into the latter third of the month. So
I wish people cared when my social media went dormant.
Yeah, when mine goes dormant, they just unfollow me.
That's right. When mine goes dormant, thankfully.
I get more unfollows when I'm active. Shut up!
Just stop talking. Yeah. Why am I following this guy?
So if there's more celebration coming, I guess we'll have to keep an eye on that.
All right, what do you got lastly here?
Two quick mentions for you. Foo Fighters did release another live EP to streaming services. They did this about a couple of weeks ago. Added another one to, you know, all the major streamers, Spotify, Apple Music, all that good stuff. So if you're into Foo Fighters, like the live stuff, you can check that out. And one final thing, there's been some Emmy nominations, obviously, were just announced. So a couple of music notes. Paul McCartney and Bruce Springsteen both had specials that were nominated for Emmys. I only saw one of these. The special for Paul McCartney was that carpool karaoke that he did with
Corden. Guy that was nominated for an Emmy.
Yeah, it
are
was.
You for real?
Yes, it's for real.
That's and, stupid stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was kind of cool that they set up in that old Liverpool bar.
No, I mean, it was fine, but it's like that's Emmy worthy.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, I'll give you that. I'll give you that. It was a cool special, and also the Springsteen on Broadway also nominated. They were up for Outstanding Variety Special, pre-recorded, and Outstanding Direction of a Variety Special.
So what was McCartney's, what was the category that he was nominated for, that stupid thing?
Yeah,
So Bruce was like, you know, they put together this whole big production and everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, with multi-cameras, and they're in a theater, and they're recording the whole thing. And then
was cool. Paul McCartney surprised people in Liverpool bar.
That was cool. Yeah, I'll give you that.
That's what I got for you, Meltdown.
I didn't realize that was going to be Emmy worthy.
Well.
So maybe that was the category.
Yeah.
Paul McCartney surprising people.
Yeah.
They should have all sorts of videos like that.
I think he'd clean up in that category.
Yeah, right. Exactly. If he walked in here right now, I'd probably pee myself. So.
Yeah, well, that's true. So, absolutely, I would.
What would be the first question you'd ask Paul McCartney? Remember Chris Farley?
Yes.
Well, he's been gone for so long. Hey, do you remember that time?
He starts that bit with, you remember when you were in the Beatles, and paused just long enough to get a laugh.
Oh, man, classic.
You remember when you play the record backwards, said, Paul is dead, Paul is dead. That was a hoax, right? Paul McCartney says, no, I wasn't really dead. Yeah. What a wonderful, I miss Chris Farley.
That was pretty good stuff, man. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
All right, give your socials there, Al Beck.
Al Beck Radio, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram
at Meltdown WRIF. I hate this. Did they switch Twitter around now? I hate this. You can't go back to the legacy Twitter anymore.
Yeah, the computer version. I think on the phone it looks pretty much the same. But if you're on a desktop, it looks a little different.
Why do people have to change things?
Yeah,
I hate change.
Well,
pisses me off.
what an ending for the podcast.
Hey, thank you for listening. Have a great weekend.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.